Morning, everyone. This is the final episode of the book A Call to the Ancient Path, written in 2001, Charles Ellsworth Smith. This final episode begins with considering liberty enlightening the world. Imagine you were looking, as I was at one time, at the Statue of Liberty. My gaze was from the stern of the ship called the Excambion as it was pulling out of the harbor in 1958, heading for Beirut, Lebanon. And as I watched the statue slowly recede into the distance, I realized I was leaving my homeland and going on an adventure, a journey that would change my life forever. I was never to be the boy who was living in Wheaton, Maryland, with my football helmet or my baseball bat or even my power lawnmower or whatever it was, bouncing my basketball in the dirt in the backyard, playing with my friends all kinds of games, croquet, canasta, even poker. You know, playing on the Sandlot football team or being in Little League, all that was fading out. When France gave the United States the Statue of Liberty, it was called Liberty Enlightening the World. Liberty should cause us to be free from bondage. Like slaves released from an evil master, liberty causes light to break forth in our lives and a pathway to open up before our feet. Years ago, I asked the Lord for a definition of liberty. In response, I heard, "Liberty is found in boundaries of love." Liberty is found in boundaries of love. God sets boundaries within our lives. When we stay within the boundaries, we are free to love. Liberty is not freedom to do whatever we want. Jesus says that man prefers darkness to light. If left to our own, we will explore every terrible possibility, as our novels and movies prove. The Statue of Liberty is like the wise woman in Proverbs. The poor, ignorant, and disenfranchised people of the earth can come to her shores and find help. Liberty is the opposite of captivity. Liberty helps to free those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. KJV. A cry is going up to him from intercessors who love his name. Turn again our captivity, O God. Send us forth with seed for the harvest. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. KJV. On the other hand, Scripture speaks of the horror of Babylon. Revelation 17, 4-6. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. NIV. This woman sits on the back of a beast that gives her power to control the world's economy, even buying and selling souls. This harlot lures men and women to lust after money and power above mercy and love. This voice is like the sirens of Homer's Odyssey, where Odysseus, Ulysses, must be tied to a mast so he won't follow the voices to his doom. He wants to hear the song, but not respond to its message. How many of us are like Odysseus, listening to the harlot on the radio or in the movies while trying to find the path of life? Magazines appeal to us to check out the latest adulterous affair or recent divorce of the so-called stars. In the Bible, stars is usually a term applied to heavenly bodies and sometimes to fallen angels. We see this woman uncovering herself to the eyes of anyone who will pay to look. Like the foolish woman in Proverbs, we hear her voice coming through singers on the radio, inviting souls to be seduced and entrapped. She raises up the ancient religions of Babylon to oppose those committed to the ancient path. Jesus said the way was difficult and few would find it. These two figures, liberty and the mother of harlots, in my vision, are vying for the affections of the American people and consequently the imagination of the Western world. The harlot invites us to do whatever we want. Sexual impurity is redefined as liberation, and the murder of children as the right to choose. Her siren voice is so strong and the wine of her fornication so powerful that men lose their sense of right and wrong. Her philosophy of an evolving man tells us it is all right to cast off the old restraints, that a new world is emerging. Liberty thus becomes a license for the imagination to travel the downward road to Sodom. The harlot makes the use of drugs seem enlightening or sensually fulfilling. Scripture tells us that the beast eventually devours this harlot. On September 11th, 2001, we saw the Statue of Liberty against the backdrop of the smoking trade towers. How wonderful that statue looked to me. What a momentous choice presents itself before us. Isaiah 30, verse 15. In returning and rest is your salvation. In quietness and confidence is your strength. To be able to choose wisely, our souls must return to the Lord. He provides the condition of heart by which we can see. Turn our captivity, O Lord. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Psalm 97:11, KJV. We can expect light to break forth before us when we are on the ancient path. The light bearer has gone before us, and we are walking into the dawning day. Like Joshua, we will say to those around us, Joshua 24:15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. John the Baptist was a burning torch to his generation. The Lord is raising up many burning torches in this generation. Someone once said, I'd rather burn out for Jesus and rust out for the devil. I think the real issue is not to burn out, but to receive the fire, keep burning brighter, and ignite other brothers and sisters as you journey. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light that gets ever brighter until the dawning of the day. A generation is arising in the earth. It defies age group, color, and nationality. It is a generation that will burn brightly until his return. This generation will cause righteousness and praise to be heard and seen in the earth. Isaiah 61:11. This generation will walk the ancient path while understanding the prophetic hour and willing to be witnesses and examples. It is an Elijah generation that will break down walls and open ancient doors. Now is the time. No other will do. Malachi 4, 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. KJV. This is the generation of those who seek your face. Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob, Selah. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Selah. The ancient doors are lifted up, the gates are opened, and the ancient path is revealed. In comes the King of glory. He will lead us to the holy hill. Yes, Lord, come quickly. Now is the time. Luke 13, verse 23. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. 1 John 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Quest final. Many times over the years, I have felt God tell me to look down the length of a sidewalk. He told me to imagine Him standing at the other end, to see myself walking down the sidewalk towards Him, to know and understand that as I stay on the sidewalk, I will inevitably reach Him, to see Him with His arms outstretched, beckoning me, to see myself as a conqueror following in the footsteps of the King. And to know that with each step down this ancient path, I will be changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Nothing and no one can force me off the path. John 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The sheep listen and follow. The shepherd knows us, gives us eternal life, preserves us, and unifies us with our Father. It is His work to save. Ours is to believe and follow. I'm looking at a picture of my father holding my hand at about 3 or maybe 5. I have a little cap on my head, and we're walking along the shore of Lake Michigan. And Dad's in his swimming trunks, and so am I. And he's pointing out far ahead. And from Psalm 85, verse 13 through 86, 1, righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway. His footsteps, Jesus' footsteps, are our pathway. So then the challenge is, like me with my father, is to keep my hand in His hand, and if my father walks ahead, to follow in His footsteps. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justified. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm now looking at a picture called Two Paths to Choose. And both of these pictures can be found in the book at the end that I'm scribing to you. Two paths to choose, the broad way and the narrow way. If you have never asked or you know you have wandered from God, stop now, confess your sins to Christ, invite Him into your life, and ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Turn to Jesus. Get ready for the journey. You will never regret your choice. Peter puts it this way, repent of your sins and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the most important decision you will ever make. His peace be with you. Your fellow traveler, that's me, Charles Ellsworth Smith. That is the end of the book, A Call to the Ancient Path.
So many choices, so many voices calling to, I will concentrate my gaze on you. Wake up my soul now, be watchful for the dawn. It's time to get ready, it's already begun. His armies he is leading.